Classic adjacency list model, don't worry about cost now, but where I got the, essentially the employee and his boss, or the node and the parent, all the way down. Notice I have to have a node.
Should that point to itself?
Well, there's an argument about that. It messes up counts. It also lets me not do a little check about the tree structure. In a tree, you're going to have a couple of problems with the adjacency list model. A lot of it's programmers, not necessarily the model itself. People don't put in check constraints when they do one of these adjacency list models for a tree. Technically, the tree has no cycles. There should be one less edge than there are nodes in the tree. Nobody bothers to put those constraints on these things.
Yeah,
so if I did the no loops, no cycles, and I make the guy his own parent, oops, I can't have the no cycles constraint. Which means I can't have a valid tree. So that's why you do the null.
Okay.
That's another good exercise for you. Try and do an adjacency list model and write out all of the check constraints to guarantee that it stays in the tree. One of the problems with the adjacency list model is if I delete a row, I wind up in a forest with separated trees. Another characteristic of a tree. If I remove an edge, I wind up with two trees. It's a good exercise to go back and look at all of the definitions of a tree in a data structures book or a graph theory book. You don't have to get a fancy one, just something with a couple of basic pieces in it. How about if I do a traversal down a tree? Remember these from freshman data structures? I guess they're still teaching it. But it started with routine by Tim Keller. Start at the top of the graph with a little, everybody would be playing with this, but imagine a little worm with a base numbering stamp. Ever see those things where every time you go down it ratchets to another number? Huge mechanical old office thing. And don't ask how my little worm, while he's crawling on this tree, is also holding this stamp, okay? That's with the flaw in it. I start off, every time I hit the corner of one of these boxes, I hit it with a stamp. So I start off on the left side, I number it 1, I crawl down the tree, I get to the corner, I number it 2, I crawl down, 3, 4, back up, down, 5, 6, back up, 7, back up, down, down, 8, 9, and back to 10. That traversal has converted an adjacency list model into a nested set model. Essentially, I just call the nested set and put them on a line. The numbers, the integers, the left and right numbers correspond to the count of parentheses and the count of HTML tags. And now the table looks like this. Okay, what did I gain by this? Well, I don't have to worry about doing cursors and traversals with procedural code, which I do with the adjacency list. Anybody familiar with the Oracle Connect by? Okay, enough obvious. Basically, it's a hidden cursor. You start at a point, you know where the next, where the end of the pointer is. You basically follow a pointer chain that you build with your dial. Now, cursors are not tables. In fact, at one point, in the committee meetings, we talked about maybe we just ought to get rid of these damn things. No, too many people are using them. What will we give them instead? Blah, blah, blah. So let's just clean up cursors later. But we actually considered getting rid of them. The problem with cursors is they're a sequential file structure. So order has meaning. Oopsie, that's not a set. The other practical side of it, besides the religious purity, not against religious purity, is that the cursors are, the language wasn't designed for it, the cursors are usually a space and a time hog. can take a lot longer than non-procedural code. What I can do, if I know the depth, is I can go ahead and write explicit self joining to go down these. And the boss of the boss of the boss of the boss to get this thing. But at 10 levels deep, or something like that, it's worse than cursors. Also, if I don't know the depth, and anything changes, I've got to rewrite my query again. So they can do this using them. Well, they're sort of natural if you use the pointer. It doesn't work that way. What I really usually do with tree is tree aggregations. Like parts explosion. I know the weight of all the different components. And I bring the weight up to the sub-assembly. And I take the weight of the sub-assembly and finally bring them up to the total weight of the product at the top of the tree, or the total budget from all the subordinate divisions. Using the numbers on that little sample tree, my little five-node tree, has a total of 1375 for whatever the heck that number is in. And I've got a total for the A subtree, a total for B sort of off to the side. And if I change one of the subordinates, only that side of the tree gets changed, not the company as a total. So, other common operations. I want to find the root. That's easy enough. I look for an adjacency list model. I look for a null. He's the only one. Oh, well, how did I guarantee he was the only one? Do you need a constraint for that, don't I? Yes, he's only got one root. In the nested set model, I simply look for the guy that starts with one on his left side. There's a little thing here, though. I call the two characteristics in the nested set model algebra and betweenness. The algebraic property is that the right node, the right value node, and that root node is going to be twice the number of nodes in the tree. Why? Well, my worm was going around, he hit every node twice, once on the left, once on the right. But there's an important algebraic property there. Find all the leaf nodes, adjacency list model, it's the guy that's not in the parent column in the tree. I mean, he's not anybody's boss. Nested sets, here's where the algebra comes in. If the left value equals the right value minus 1, if the worm going around the corner, I know the leaf node. In fact, I know the size of all the subtrees the minute I get to a node. And it's basically left by right minus left plus 1 divided by 2. So immediately when I get somewhere in the nested set model, I know the size of the subtree. I also know some other things too. But finding all the superiors of a given node, well, with an adjacency list model, I mean tree trappers, going back in procedural code. With the nested set model, I use betweenness, the other property. If a node's left value is between the left and right values of another node, he's inside it. All the way up. And the further apart the left and right values are, the higher up the tree you are. Until I get to the root node, which has the largest difference in the values. It doesn't matter what the depth is. I do this all in one query, one self-join, without any traversals. That's pretty handy for doing aggregation. Subordinates, same idea. Subordinate is contained inside the range of the left and right nodes. So it goes down, just turns inside out. No more cursors, joins. So here's an example of what you have to do with self-join. You're going to just find grandchildren. Yeah. In generations requires an n plus 1 weight self-join. Yeah. Depth of the tree. So there's nothing in the nested set model to keep me from doing counts or aggregate functions on the select list. So I've got a count. I depends whether or not you feel like using 0 for the depth or 1 for the depth. Again, that varies a lot from book to book. So I can get my counts, I can get my sums, the total cost at every level. All in one query. Okay, the leading subtree, adjacency list model, I need a cursor. I need to go through and find all of the nodes in the subtree. And I'll mark them in some way and then delete the marked set. It's kind of ugly. So I delete the subtree from the nested set model. I just use the between thread at the end. They're all subordinates, removal. Now, I need to close up the gaps in the numbers. There's some housekeeping there. If I want to keep a subtradient, use a not between operator. But deleting a subtree is easy. Deleting a single node inside a tree isn't. If the node I'm deleting is a leaf node, fine, that's just a special case of deleting a subtree. I don't have any problems with it. However, if I delete somebody in the middle, what do I do? Because I've got a gap in it. Okay, if I just do it as a deletion in a dignity list model, I wind up with my split. Yeah, and I've got a forest instead of a tree. Okay, method one in actual practice. Promote a child to the parent's prior position. Yeah. John, your boss has just died in a horrible accident, which of course you have nothing to do with. How would you like to take over his position? Now you have to rearrange the tree and you continue to restructure. Yeah, the only son gets the family business when the father dies. Oh, that's another thing. In the nested set model, the siblings are ordered. So there really is a first son, second son, third son, and so on. In the adjacency list model, they are not. This might not be a concern for you, but in a lot of hierarchies, sibling order is very important. Anybody here ever work in a union shop? Yeah, most of that's an American thing. There's been attempts to unionize programmers. They failed miserably. If I heard in cast, it just doesn't work. We're too sociopathic. I'm sorry, independent. Yeah. Sociopath's a bad word. Yeah. But the guy that gives you the test, he's the one that has the pornographic influence. He thinks you're crazy. Anyway, second method. I move the entire subtree up. You fired your boss, you now report directly to his boss. You're just going to move you up. Makes him your conjoined with grandma. You go up to the, diagrammatically, I'm going to kill Mr. A0. A1 takes over as the oldest son of, I'm assuming, left the way in order. And if I do it with the subtree, I wind up with a bush. But I'm not much of a tree here. It's direct reports. Which one's right? What are your business rules? It's generally a good idea when you're doing purely organizational charts with other hierarchies that you separate the nodes and the structure into two separate tables and link them. In a Hartz explosion, this means the same part can appear in different sections. I mean, how many number 5 screws is there in 747? And they appear all over the place. So I have a parts bin, and I go up the tree and count the number 5 machine screws involved. In an organizational chart, unless you look at a .com, the structure, the organizational structure, was pretty static, and the nodes changed frequently. And there was a general node called to be hired, who had a lot of positions all over the place. Well, until the company.
Not the name yet.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
That
person
is
now. That's what I haven't heard. We used to use to be determined.
Yes.
CBD. That was always for us. That's even more in universities. Structure to be determined. You teach a lot of classes. it was really a multifaceted person. Another one you used to see, NMI, no middle initial. And occasionally somebody would key that in and put out a paycheck. And I said, Joe, in the middle, Smith. I think one of my favorites was at Lockheed back in the 70s. They decided they had enough people, they had to keep the payroll straight, so they wanted everybody's paycheck to be with their full name. Not just the middle initial or first and last name. And one guy working there was named R.B. Jones. Literally, letter R, letter B, Jones. So he put down R, paren, only, closed, B, paren, only, closed, and his paycheck came to only, only Jones. The other one that I love from the military payroll was Johnny Numeral 2, Arrows. Native American. We've done edits that keep numbers out of names. You're messing up the payroll. Gee, white guy, is this really messing you up? You can't make me change it, can you? I'm getting out of this place. Why you're rewriting your payroll. All of a sudden, now I'm on private. Make a decision. Names could be really funny. We'll just alphabetize them. Vanderbilt. Or any of the German names goes Vaughn. That really messes up America. We're used to an English pattern of first, middle, last. And if you get anything out of the ordinary, a lot of systems freak out. It's probably going to get worse as we get more international. Okay, closing the gaps. Basically, I delete things inside the nested set model that we're getting ready for break signaling. The gaps destroy that nice little algebraic property about doing math on left and right. They don't destroy betweenness. So I can make a decision about how I'm going to do this little cleanup. So basically what I'm going to do is just slide everybody over to the low end. We're going to union view on all the left and right values in the tree. I can use that to figure out union at the right. By the way, union views are now pretty common. I probably ought to change that slide. For a while, you could not do a union in a view in a lot of products. This wasn't there. I can figure out the size of all the gaps, put it in the table, and get a little ugly looking. And then once I know the numbers, I move everybody over. I can also do this with a simple update, where I simply do that self-join count, figure out the number of nodes in the table, see how much I have to slide people over. Do the count of how many numbers are below you and fill it into your left and right. Here's the stuff for the closing the gaps. And finally an update statement. This is a sort of long way to do it. I can do it with the self-join. This long way actually runs a little faster. But it's so ugly. I go ahead for the times I have to do it and just do a simple self-join update. If I want to insert something into a tree and do a nested set model, same idea as delete except in reverse. I've got to make a gap and then fill it. Now, the position that I make the gap at, I can do it inside a range of siblings. Usually, though, you stick them on the end. It makes the math a little easier. It also makes sure that the sibling order is still preserved. And can figure out basically just simple algebra how big the gap should be. You know you've got to add, if I've got a subtree of n nodes, I know that I'm going to have to put my count's going to go up by 2n. Just simple algebra. Converting an adjacency list model into a nested set model, frankly, you can do it in SQL. But it's basically the traversal algorithm. Pre-order traversal. I also have to make up my mind about ordering the siblings and some other things. But basically, your classic push-down tree algorithm. Get out your old data structures book and do it. I'm going to go ahead and give you the breakdown and get into cost tabs afterwards. I believe we've got 8:15 to 10:15